I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
And I'm April, sex toy maven, VP of Hot Octopus, and I've dedicated my life to the business of sex. We're two people with a passion for educating and inspiring shame-free conversations about sex and relationships.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Bonjour, everybody.
Oh, bonjour, oui, oui. Oh, what's your joke that you were telling me the other day? You did not make it up because someone else told me the same joke, but that's cool.
Oh, okay. It must have been from a show or something that was in the backlog of my brain. It was, what do you say to someone?
A European?
And
originally you said a French person.
No, that's what I was getting to the joke. Okay. You gotta wait for it. God, no, everyone knows the punchline. It was, what do you say to someone who is French taking a pee?
European.
Yeah. Now it's
when
lame.
You say French, I think oui, oui.
Yeah. Then I'm like, okay, change it to someone from the Netherlands. If you're in the Netherlands and someone is peeing, what do you say? European. It was funny. And listen, it was actually not meant to be shared because everyone's like, I am now never listening to these fuckers again.
Yesterday I won't say their names, to two people that we know. And I was like, oh, April came up with this new joke. And I'm like, that's not new.
I don't think I've ever heard it though before. I was just like,
nothing's new though. Everything's been said. Yeah, including all right, anyways, what do you guys think of the joke? Do you like it? Is it great? Do you love it? Do you wish you were a pin in front of April?
I mean, you know what? Can't say that to anybody in Great Britain anymore, can we? Because they're not in Europe.
Oh, sorry.
It's getting political over here. Don't give us any
information. Not a political podcast. Okay, so this episode is with Alice Child. She is a wonderful human from Australia. And it is about connection intimacy games for couples and individuals. And it was very interesting to hear about how we can play intimacy games with ourselves. Also, sex toys and erotic tools and the five things that you should know when it comes to sex. So, we will dive into that shortly. Are you ready for a sex question show?
Only if you sing it to me like you just did.
Penis owner here.
And we lost five more listeners.
That's how it starts. Penis owner, yeah. Okay, so this penis owner here. I would like my orgasms to be more and more explosive in power and volume. Are there supplements I can take to achieve this? Or are there any recommendations that you may have? They're thinking like, jizz everywhere.
Are we talking about those dick pills that we used to sell at Pure Pleasure back in the day?
I mean, I'm not... So they're asking about supplements. So you know there was ones for your load?
That's what I'm talking about. Like horny goat weed when you're at the gas station.
But was that even for your load? Isn't that supposed to be for like
your erection? No, that's like the pineapple flavored things.
Oh no, that's like flavor though. That's different than...
So what are we talking about here?
So I personally... So when it comes to your load, like the amount, I have seen the pills that say that they can do this thing. Mm. I have never seen a research study proving that that's true. But I do think there's practices that you can do, like recommendations for actual practices with your body and not taking a pill, where you can increase the size of your load and enhance the power of your orgasm.
I want to speak to something that you were there and witnessed.
I was there.
Remember when it was probably 2012 and I took a bunch of the dick pill supplements to see what would happen. And
ones we had Pure Pleasure?
No, oh. I was up from this dude show. That sold them. And I was like, let me see what happens. And I took like six of them and I don't remember anything. Do you remember? They were legal.
I remember this.
And they were specifically for penis owners. And I was like, I want to see what happens when I take them. And I was like, wild. I went to a gay dance club in Hollywood and had the best time of my life. Nothing happened with my bits, but I felt like I was...
I'm pretty sure that I tried them and they had amphetamines in them or something.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
And I don't think that they were dick pills. They're supposed to be like arousal pills.
That's what
or
I'm
something.
Saying, but they were specifically for penis owners.
And he was a guy who was just like walking around a trade show but didn't have a booth, was handing out...
Yeah, that should have been my first probably assumption that it wasn't safe.
Don't take the mystery dick
and then
pills.
I was super hungover the next day and I was like, what the hell? And I did drink alcohol, everyone. This was in 2012. I still do.
This was on your birth. I remember this exactly.
It was my birthday.
It was your birthday.
Remember?
You were with your ex-husband. I shared a hotel room with you two. And I
went to
sleep.
The gay bars before, though, and then he met us there.
Okay. But I remember I didn't sleep all night because I was on dick pills or something. Or maybe I'm confusing a different story. Anyways, I remember that they were, I know. So we went out to brunch with the Screaming O people the next day. And we were like, those dick pills were crazy.
Yeah, they were like, I didn't know. They were specifically for dudes, though, because I remember asking the guy, and I was like, I just want to see. And he's like, this will make you
feel
great.
And then you're like, Amy, you should try this.
Yeah, and then sorry about that.
We've evolved since then.
We have, and that's probably different. I'm sure there's more legislation now that's probably forbidding those pills to be eaten.
People get in big trouble for having knockoff dick pills
now. Do you think there's any psychotropic effects from these dick pills?
I think that we were just getting a little like high, as if we were on a bunch of caffeine or some sort of amphetamine or something with these ones. But this person is not talking about their actual cock.
Oh.
And they're not talking about the hardness. They're talking about orgasm and feeling more of like a powerful full body orgasm and the size of their load to be like, bam.
Well, I didn't have sex on that. Otherwise, because I couldn't, because I was too in my head, because I was all jacked up on the amphetamines. But I wonder if my load would have been huge.
I really doubt it. I doubt these things were going to do that. I really don't think so. But we're not recommending for you to do that. And again, we haven't seen anything that is valid. I'm sure other people are like, oh yeah, this totally works for the size of your load. And this
the proof is in the pudding. I never took those again, and nor will I after that night.
It was a little traumatic, I remember.
Yeah, it was. I was like,
I value my sleep. I don't want to stay up all night looking at the ceiling. It's fucked up. And yeah. Mystery guy. Yeah, we went out to brunch with the Screaming O people. They were like, why did you take those mystery pills?
And I had people giving me stories about things that happened the night before at the club. I was like, what happened? I don't know. I jumped on some dude's back.
Hope it was consensual.
I think it was, but I think he almost fell over.
Oh, geez. Yeah. All right. So everyone, don't take the mystery dick pills or load pills. If anyone has a wonderful research study to prove something, go ahead and send it our way, but I have yet to see it. And so what comes to mind for me for this is, if you want to have, let's separate it. You want to have more full-bodied orgasms, like powerful, mind-blowing, wah! Or you want to also like release the big load. There's two different things. One, like one of my tips would be prostate play for full-bodied orgasms, which also in turn could create a larger load in your ejaculation. But it's incorporating prostate play into your play, into touching your cock, having someone else touch your cock consensually. Maybe it's nipples, making out, whatever. But you're still, you know, there's like two sets of pleasure that goes on. You add prostate play with things like prostate toys, like the Aneros toys. We have wonderful episodes on that with Forrest Andrews from Aneros that talks about, what is it, the Super O, which is essentially, I don't know if it's a bigger load, but it's a full body, more powerful orgasm.
We also had Amir and Basira on, and Amir talked about the
man squirt,
penis ejaculation that was man squirting. He called it man squirting.
Like it wasn't the regular ejaculation that he experienced.
It was a bigger, listen to that episode. It just came out last week with Amir and Basira from Both Sides of the Bed podcast. And we were both like, ding, ding, ding. What?
Yeah.
What did you just squirt? Man squirting. And he talked about solo play using an actual wand vibrator on his frenulum of his penis.
No, I thought it was the taint. It was the
perineum. Sorry. Yeah. You're right. It was the taint.
Perineum.
It was the perineum. Yeah. I mean, yes, it was the perineum. See, I already mixed it up again.
Yeah, same.
Has the ums.
It has one of the ums, and it's a purr in the beginning. Yes, they have some good advice in that. And so anything on prostate play, we have so many episodes on that, and then man squirt, and then also semen retention, though. If I were a penis owner and I had sex and orgasmed every day, or just had sex with myself, or, you know, ejaculated every day, that load would be, you know, maybe decent. But if I were to retain my load and build it up within my body, maybe still learn how to have orgasms without ejaculating, or just not allow myself to ejaculate and edge, and then, you know, on day 5 or 7, I finally bust a nut, it probably would be bigger, and maybe even the orgasm would be more powerful. At least we've had people like Fabienne. Am I saying that right? Fabienne and Nick.
There are also doctors that say it's not.
You want to clear the path, but you don't want to hold on to it for like 30 days as far as I know. Like, I'm going to abstain.
Like Dr. Dubin was like, I don't know. So it's up to you to try, though, these different tools. That's why we interview all these folks. because it's up to you to figure out what works for your body. You may or may not have a bigger load after you
try it. Let us
retain it for 7 days.
Don't send us photos though.
No,
we don't want load.
Give
photos.
Us the feedback in letters that are sentences.
I was like three sentences.
No photos
max.
Necessary.
No.
Yes.
So I tried this. It worked. It's awesome. I tried this. Didn't work. No yep. bueno. There you
and
go.
And everybody's so different, y'all. It's so hard to let you know what the actual pathway would be for you to have the biggest load possible. But we've had a lot of folks on here that say that Super O from the prostate massage mm-hmm. is great and that the semen retention pathway can be the golden ticket for your Willy Wonka chocolate factory ticket. Experience.
Yeah. And again, if it comes down to like, what's more important? Do you want to have the powerful full body witchy orgasm where you're like, or do you want to produce a big old load? And or maybe you want both, but
or maybe you want to go to some club and never remember what you did.
I hope not.
I don't. I was inserting some very...
That was not your intention.
Very bad humor in there. All right,
April
was bio?
Like, yeah, April, your body is your research project this and you Sarah, learned a hard lesson.
This is 2012. I remember now because I was very new to the industry from that side and very keen on... not doing drugs, but just drinking. And then those felt safe because they were herbal.
Oh, yeah. So everyone herbal doesn't mean shit. And don't go and take the mystery dick pills.
That's why I was like, Amy, you got to take these. You're amazing.
And then I did take the mystery dick
My
pills.
My clit's massive right now.
We never know. We don't know if that's true.
All right, here we go. Alice Child is a certified somatic sexologist, sex educator, and coach, and founder of Vulva Dialogues. She helps individuals, couples, and groups achieve happier, healthier, and more fulfilled sex lives, whatever that means for them. To learn more, visit vulvadialogues.com.
All right, everyone, it is interview time, and we are here with Alice Child, and we are going to talk about the five things you should know when it comes to sex, as well as intimacy games, sex games. What's a sex game? Sex toys, erotic tools to have more spicy. I was gonna say romance, but I mean, romance can be part of it, but not everyone wants romance. So, sex or eroticism or intimacy in your life. And before we dive in, even though you all heard a little bit about Alice in the bio or in the intro, can you, Alice, tell our listeners how you got to where you are today in the field of sexuality?
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, I've always just been fascinated by human sexuality. And I was actually lucky enough to not be that embarrassed or shame-filled when it came to talking about sex growing up. I was lucky to live in a pretty shame-free household and found it a lot easier talking about sex than a lot of my friends. But despite that, I still didn't do a lot of my own sexual exploration until I actually moved across the other side of the world from the UK to Australia, because I'd only been in monogamous and heterosexual relationships. And then when I got here, I suddenly had this sexual enlightenment, I suppose, of being able to explore all of these sides of my sexuality that I hadn't been able to do back home. And it was so powerful for me. It was so powerful for my mental health, for my confidence, for how I showed up at work even, how I showed up in friendships. And it really did just change my life, being able to explore my bi-curiosity, going to sex parties, kink and BDSM, becoming polyamorous for a time. And it just made me realize like why don't more people have these moments? And the more I got talking to friends and other people in the communities, it seemed that so many people shared that experience, you know, that there needed to be a big transformative moment, either moving abroad or a big divorce or a breakup or a health scare that really triggers them to prioritize their sexual health and their exploration. And it can be so, so powerful when you're able to do that. So I started wanting to learn more and wanting to connect more and more to people. And I started putting on workshops. I sort of gathered together different professionals, sexual health, and put on all sorts of workshops with very different topics, things like sex after childbirth, menopause and sex, kink and BDSM, ethical non-monogamy, painful sex. And they were just incredible sessions with really, really amazing educators. And it just made me want to be where they are. And I was like, how do I become you guys? How do I not just facilitate these spaces, but have the answers and be one of these people with the answers? So I started doing my studies and studying sexology and counseling and aromatic massage and all of these other amazing things, while also continuing my own exploration and journey in the world of sexuality. And excitingly, it's now what I do full time. So I now work with individuals, couples, and groups to help people have happier, healthier, and more fulfilled sex lives. And yeah, a lot of that work is still online and via telehealth, but it's also in person here in Sydney. So yeah, really exciting that I've got to this stage because it's been so important for me personally. And so now being able to see others on those journeys is really rewarding.
To see them having success as well, that's probably really gratifying when it takes their sex life from zero to 160 or 69, I don't know, whatever number you feel would apply.
160 out of 100? Is it like you went above and beyond?
You went above and beyond. It's like amazing stuff happening.
In the cosmos.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
Mind-blowing. Well, this is one thing we as Shameless Sex ourselves, we know about spicing up sex lives and how important that is. And I feel like Amy and I are both playful enough humans. And even though creativity isn't always at the top of mind, it is super important when it comes to sex, having playfulness, creativity, and being that inner Alice child, being that having the inner playful child come out. So the question here is why, if you're not Amy or April or Alice child, why is creativity and playfulness important in sex, whether it's with yourself or with partners?
Yeah, it's a great question, especially because a lot of people don't think of themselves as playful or think of their sexual expression as particularly playful. Like, games, that's not for me. I'm not a playful.
I'm an adult.
I'm playful in the bedroom. Yeah, I'm an adult. I'm pretty profound or serious or like, you know, dominating or whatever in the bedroom. I don't need games. But I think it's really helpful because so many people have one or two scripts or patterns of behavior when it comes to sex, like alone, like in masturbation, or also with a partner. And they like tend to like learn what feels good for them and then sort of follow that script or that pattern. And at best, that becomes boring. And at worst, it can make sex feel really filled with pressure and really emotionally stressful, and lead to conflict in the relationship or, you know, lots of self-doubt and things like that. So I think by bringing in these sorts of games, it helps people learn what they like and how to ask for it in a really safe, happy, fun container. And it gets people back to pleasure and away from the pressure that they might have experienced in their sex life as well. And yeah, I think a lot of people have got into a bit of a cycle as well when it comes to average or bad sex. Like due to bad communication styles or like non-existent communication, or like enduring touch that doesn't feel great. And by being told, well, these are some games that you're going to give a go and see what works and what doesn't, it gets people back into that curious mindset, you know, that beginner's mindset of learning new things about their own body, about their partner's body, about what pleasure could even be for them, breaking those old habits. And also I think novelty really gets people out of their heads and like back into their bodies, which is such an issue I found with a lot of my clients are so in their head. And they can't even sort of feel the amazing things that are going on for them. And like novelty really helps with that as well.
So yeah, I was going to ask why people struggle with bringing playfulness and newness and creativity in the bedroom, the novelty aspect. And you kind of already talked about that, you know, they're very in their head, but you know, why do you think that that's kind of the original programming? Like, why are people functioning from that place or like, I need to be so serious. You know, do you think it's like the conditioning? That's what we're told that sex should be. We're trying to be porn stars or I don't know, like you said, the dominant person, you know, but why do people have this?
Yeah, I think it's so varied for different people, right? You know, shame is a huge one. You know, that old chestnut, you know, everyone lives with some form of sexual shame and it shows up in various ways for everyone because we still live in a very conservative and sex negative society. And so being like playful and silly in the bedroom can feel really at odds to that. And also I think people hate the idea of being playful and silly and laughing because it sometimes feels like you're, you know, not in the mood and not connected to your partner when you're in that sort of like more playful, curious mindset, which is wrong, but not wrong, but it's, you know, not necessarily.
It's not right. It's not wrong, but it's not right.
It's not right. Okay.
Well, you can laugh and be awkward and silly and have great sex and be connected, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. And everyone has a different sexual style as well. So what feels like a really authentic expression of one person's sexuality might be very different to someone else's. And veering from that style can feel really edgy and difficult if it's what you've known your whole sexual expression You know, you're like, but this is who I am in the bedroom. And delving into these different realms feels really edgy and uncomfortable, which can sometimes lead to the most amazing realizations, but you need like a safe container and, you know, safety in order to do that and to sort of push yourself and see who else you could be.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you can be anyone you want to be in the bedroom, really,
as long as consent is.
Well, I mean, if it's you being just you in the bedroom, this is me.
Well, and that just, I know April's question, but so when we're going to talk about like, you know, this whole thing about being creative with sex and playful, is there a difference between doing that with yourself, like what April's kind of alluding to there, or playing with others? Like, I just don't even, like, how do I get playful with myself? So, I mean, I know how to play with myself, but like, how do I bring in the same? And maybe this is a question for later, because you're going to share more about some other ways to do this. But yeah, is there a difference?
Yeah, you can totally get playful with yourself. It's the same sort of mindset, you know, like curious, breaking old habits, seeing what else you discover, you know, having that mindset of I'm discovering this amazing body and all that it is capable of for the very first time. And like, I'm touching myself like I'd want a lover to touch me. And I'm, you know, being as curious about my own body as I'd want someone else to be curious with me. And you can definitely still surprise yourself and tease yourself and edge yourself, you know, and use sensation tools to like give yourself whole new levels that you didn't expect. You can definitely play a lot of these games on your own.
Mm, I love it. You can throw on your best Alice Child accent because it's so, I love the Sydney accent. I love Sydney, by the way, too. Shout out to anybody in Sydney. Such a good restaurant scene over there. That was a side note. The question that I have, it's sort of, I want to premise it with, did you ever see Hunger Games? Remember the Hunger Games? Yeah. So this question, remember, how does a whistle go? It's like, something like this. Anyway.
Yeah.
Great movies. And this question, because it's, what are sex games? Are we thinking Hunger Games style? And how did they help inspire hotter sex? The Hunger Games of sex games. I think it could be a thing.
Someone die?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, so basically when I set any clients or any people or just chat to people generally out in the world and force this upon them, because I, you know, do love just to chat about sex whenever I can. They are little exercises to try together in like a fun, goal-free environment. So I think so many people place orgasm as like the end point of like what good sex looks like. And that can like really hold us back from actually being able to enjoy what we're experiencing. And so these games are a way of like throwing out that old script and that old rule book and just like trying something new. So yeah, there's heaps. Do you want me to start chatting about the different ones that I give people? So some examples. So one that I really like to get if someone like doesn't really know what they like in bed or what to ask for is like a game, which is like, how do I like to be touched? So you print off a whole bunch of cards with your different body parts. Of a whole load of cards which are different types of touch, and you just like pick two cards at random, and then you like ask your partner like, I would like you to wiggle my booty or lick my collarbone or, you know, nibble my toe. And it gets you laughing and trying new things, and it takes away some of that embarrassment of, I would never ask for that, you know, I don't feel comfortable asking for that. But then when you do and it's in a game, you're like, oh dear, the game told me to do it, teehee, you know, suddenly you discover so much more than you maybe would do if you were just coming out with these suggestions on your own. And like, so there's heaps of these different types of little games that I get people to try, and some of the most important thing is like before and afterwards, kind of like establishing like before you start playing the game, like setting it up so that you're feeling really safe and comfortable. You might want to like light some candles, get a space that feels like really connected and sensual and fun for you guys, and talk about anything that's, you know, off limits today for whatever reason, like, oh, I'm like not in the mood for XYZ touch or whatever. And afterwards have a little informal chat around, oh, what was the hottest thing for you? What did you like less? And what does it make you curious to try next time? And like those three questions after trying anything new together, it's just a really easy way to encourage people like chat more about sex, be more curious about like future exercises and like future things that could work. Because the games themselves are sort of like the practice space. You're learning all of this juicy stuff so that you can then incorporate it in like the play space of like, you know, outside of the game. So yeah, you learn all of these skills and then you can bring them to life into your real sex life.
It's one of the key things, the goallessness and just embracing the, not the, I don't want to say the newness, but I mean, the obvious, the newness, but I mean, like embracing the awkward or embracing whatever's going to happen next without having an idea of what it should look like. Is that one of the main things, is like getting really creative? Cause I imagine you just named a couple things that people could do. And there's like the aftercare conversation, you know, what worked and didn't work. But I imagine that if people just open up and get creative, there's like endless things, like, you know, hundreds or thousands of things that we can try that can bring in more a new sense of play.
Well, there's also games that you can buy too. If you don't want to write down things on your own, right? There's a shit ton of sex games.
What's that book with the pages that
that rip out?
Yeah, I like that. Oh, 101 Nights of Great Sex.
Yes.
And it has these like sealed pages, and then you open it up and it gives you these ideas. I think what people are often doing though is trying things out, pulling the pieces that work for them, because not all of them are going to be hot, right? We'll try a thing, we'll be like, well, that was, that didn't do much for me.
Dice. There's like kinky dice too. There's a bunch of different options. But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was just thinking about, if you can't get creative on your own, there are things already available that you could buy to help you.
Totally. And little conversation starter cards, the fun ones where you swipe, you know, it's little apps where you swipe left if it's a fantasy that you have, and your partner also swipes left and it shows you your matches. So it's like an interactive version of like the yes, no, maybe game. It shows you both of your, like, you know, the ones that like light you up. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, you matched on this little fantasy. Let's talk about that. So, yeah, there's heaps that you can find as well. But yeah, you're so right. It's the key to it is not being attached to outcome, of it being okay if it's a bit clunky and weird and, you know, some things don't work. And when you've got that outcome, you'll start creating your own games. You know what I mean? Once you've started doing it a couple of times, you'll find your language, you'll find your comfort, it'll just become an integrated part of your sexual exploration and your sex life without needing to like sit down and be like, okay, this is the game that we're going to play. And it doesn't need to be so forced after a while, because you'll just have the skills to be able to do these things. But at first, especially for people who have never really talked openly about sex or have never fallen outside of the script that they learned really early, they do often like need some support in getting those ideas into getting that mindset. And yeah, it was the kink scene and the BDSM scene which made me realize how much better some of these communities do this, because it has to, right? To be consensual, safe, and sane, you need to have the pre-negotiation, because the play that you're about to do is so much more potentially dangerous or potentially intense. And so then you need to have the aftercare afterwards. And so these communities are just getting so much better at the communication piece and realizing the benefit of this curious mindset of, okay, what next? You know, what did we learn? What was great? What was not? And even if you don't have any interest in kink and BDSM at all, you can replicate that kind of structure in your own sex life.
Mm. I'm curious if you have a partner. So what, a lot of partnerships are misaligned in certain ways, where one partner may be a little bit more open to playfulness or initiating new positions or avenues of play, whether or not that's being poly or open or kink and BDSM. But let's bring it back to more basic when we're talking about long-term relationships and your partner is just kind of stuck in that rut. Are you to initiate if you want change and you're seeking this novelty, yet you have had conversations with your partner and they don't seem to be on board, like, what's wrong with our sex life? Everything's great. Mm. Do you have any tips for approaching this when it's sort of, there might be an imbalance? And yeah, especially in couples, I feel like that happens frequently.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's always helpful, I think, to lean on the positives of why you're wanting this. You know, it'd be so hot for me if we tried XYZ, or I loved it that time where we did this because it made me feel why. Is there any way we can try that again and do more of that? You know, like leaning on the positives rather than, you know, oh, like I'm a bit bored of trying this same old position. Like, can we, you know, people immediately get on the defensive and it's no longer fun and explorative, and that disconnect's already kind of there. So if you sort of lean from why it's important and exciting and fun for you, you're definitely more likely to get someone being like, all right, I'll give it a go for you, because that sounds, you know, you're selling it to me, And also like identifying like what their fantasies could be, or maybe something that they're curious about. So I think the yes, no, maybe list is great for some people, but it's a bit much. Not everyone's as big as sex geek as I am. Mm-hmm. But the yes, no, maybe list is, you write out all of the things that you bloody love that are really hot for you, you know they're great, your nose, your boundaries, the things you never want to try, you're not that interested in. And your maybes are like, I'm curious, I'm interested. All right, I'll give them a go if we, you know, have a little chat about it. And so if you do a similar kind of exercise to that and you find that one of your partner's maybes or one of your partner's curiosities, then you can kind of start there, as long as obviously you're into it too and you're open to it, starting with something that they're really curious about. If they're generally a little bit more reserved or reluctant, you know, you can start with something that's always been on their mind rather than like starting with all of your desires. Like think about their desire as well, so they feel like listened to and part of the journey and excited as well.
Yeah, it's more of that curiosity on all ends. It spices things up and helps people feel more connected. You know, and if I was having sex with someone who was very one-sided about their desires and their fantasies, but they weren't like asking me about mine, even if mine seemed, I don't know, like a little more, I don't know, simple or low-key or far out. Yeah, I'm the one.
I think
like,
acceptance is probably part of that.
Oh, yeah.
If there is something that might shock you that you hear from your partner,
like,
I think
right,
having acceptance for that and openness so they don't feel shut down and shame, right?
Yeah.
It just perpetuates shame if you are like, oh my God, you're into that. Like, that's probably something you want to stay away from. Say, you should be like, interesting, I never thought of that myself. Now I know.
Yeah, or like, that's totally not normal. Why would you want that? That's not normal.
Let's not throw around the N-word, you know?
No, yeah.
Well, there's no such thing as normal. Just be excited to hear something new. You're like, I had never thought of that. Cool. What an amazing like new idea, you know?
And it doesn't mean we have to do it too, right? Like we could say that and still say, and might not be my jam, but like, let's find a kind of a middle ground to try it out or like talk about it more or something. But it doesn't mean you have to be a guaranteed yes all the time.
Like I'm a definite maybe to that.
Good definite maybe.
Not saying no, but I'm a definite maybe.
Definite maybe no. I don't know. Maybe yes. I'm not sure.
Exactly.
So I have a question for you. Well, before the question, what is it called? Niru massage? Niru? It's the one where you use your body to massage.
Oh, yeah.
That might be like a trademark brand name.
Is that with like the gel?
Yes.
That's the Israeli company that they make it with the gel.
And it's you're like rubbing your breast.
The LG-based gel. Is it called Niru?
I think it's N-U-R-U.
Yeah.
And so I've never learned anything about this or I just know of it. Like I've heard of it. And so it's not like something that I do regularly, but knowing about it inspired me randomly to try. Remember I talked about the hot lava game before?
Yeah.
To instead, like just being playful with my partner, we're fully naked and I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna do this thing so it's not full neuro massage, but it's, so it's like inviting in like this ridiculousness, because what I do is he's laying on the bed on his stomach and then I pretend like the bed is hot lava and I have to rub my body on his skin without touching. I can't touch the bed because if I do I went in the hot lava and I die, and then I have to like flip over gracefully but also I kind of like stab him with my elbow sometimes and like
hopefully
and then
your bed is low so you don't get injured.
Well no, because this all happens on the bed, we're not like venturing anywhere else.
What if you slip off though?
Then I die in more than hot lava. I'd fall into the center of the earth. But it was worth it because it was fun. And then when I bet on my back, now I'm like massaging my ass and like all kind. And then we're just laughing because it's ridiculous. Mm. So that's another thing that came to mind, is like we can get really inspired by other things and not do the exact thing. You know, I'm not a professional.
Totally.
Would you say massage? I like the way you said it earlier. Massage.
Massage.
Yeah. Yeah. You can learn little tools from that. So, but I wanted to bring that into something that April and I absolutely love, which is the world of sex toys. So this is gonna be a little bit of a true or false and with an explanation for you. So true or false, sex toys lead to better sex. And if so, why?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say the whole it depends thing, but it does sort of depend. I think generally, yes. Generally, I'm a big believer like in sex toys for lots of different reasons. You can feel whole new sensations that you couldn't replicate with just your body and your hands and your tongue. Newness is great. It can lead to like more powerful orgasms. It also encourages conversation if you're doing it with introducing toys with a partner. Discoveries of like what your body is capable of. It's great for relaxing your muscles and your pelvis. So it's good for people who experience painful sex. And yeah, they can also like help with loads and loads of different sexual concerns as well. So generally, yes, sex toys, bloody great. Love them. Big tick. I think the only potential issue with sex toys is I do see quite a lot of people who become really reliant on one type of sensation. And this can happen with so many different things, not just vibrators and sex toys. You know, you can become reliant on porn or reliant on a particular fantasy or reliant on a certain touch that you give yourself. And it can make you very, very focused on like a really small part of your body, like really hyper focused on like clitoral focused orgasm, for example, which over time might not then feel like that satisfying because you're missing out on like a big, beautiful body orgasm and like bigger sensation. So yes, they're great, but just remember that they're just like one tool that you have in your toolbox, I guess, and your own tools can be even sexier. So things like a touch and your voice and eye contact and breath and movement, you know, a smile, you know, you've got so many tools that you've already got, and vibrators are just another one, which are amazing. And sex toys and sensation toys and bondage and all of the beautiful things, they're all just adding to that toolbox, but you have lots yourself as well.
I like that you're not sticking just to sex toys as the only option, because I sometimes get stuck in the sex toy rut where I know that if I don't bust my sex toy out, even though I'm having an amazing journey of intimacy and play with my partner, I'm like, oh, I need the sex toy because I need the vibrator. Otherwise, I won't have an orgasm, right? That's already heady because I already told myself I couldn't or that I won't. So I have been really trying to feel into the sensations of what's happening in my body and around my body. And it has been helpful. Sometimes even taking away your sight by putting a blindfold on, if you are too into what's going on around you and you're squirreling out with your attention, that can help because it enhances other sensations. That would be something. Also taking away some movement with your hands if you get them tied behind your back, or you can do the hog tie thing. I think that's really awesome. The other night I was really wanting to get into the mode of feeling sexy and playful because I felt like our sex hasn't, my partner and I, our sex hasn't been bad at all. It's just been pretty similar time and time again, right? So I was like, I want to do something else. So I have all this like lingerie, and it was like, I didn't know exactly what it was, but it looked like it was a cat suit with like two arms and two legs. Sexy. That was really tiny. But it was one size fits all. So I put it on and then it had no crotch or anything. And then I get it on and I put on some like red boots that I didn't really think about, like, oh, but I was like, this thing doesn't have to come off because it has a hole. So I'm like, this is great. And so then my partner was like, oh, so I was like waiting on the couch. I was being all sexy. And then he like busted out a couple of toys that we hadn't used in a while. And I think I was like blindfolded. And then all of a sudden, I swear to God, we were like in the midst, the fucking doorbell rang.
Oh,
and I'm like, who's here?
No.
And I was like, no. And I was like, we can't answer. I was like, wait. It was like some delivery that I had to sign for.
Did you role play the delivery? Oh, the
no,
delivery.
No, because that would be wildly inappropriate. Yeah. And then my partner's like, are you going to go downstairs like that? I was like, I can't go downstairs like this. And then it literally was like, wah, wah. Because it totally transitioned. And I tried. It took me a while to get out. I just told them to rip off the cat suit, but I was in my play. I felt so sexy and excited. Oh. And then the doorbell. So we did play off the delivery driver thing later, but I took off the cat suit. So this is just an example though of things that you could do. It doesn't have to be something sexy. You could put on a hat of some sort, like a beret or some kind of paper person hat, right? I don't know if you have the paper boy hats. They're called paper boy hats, but I'm saying paper person to kind of keep it neutral here with gender. But you know what I'm talking about? This old school 19.
I have no idea what you're talking about. But I'm just going to smile and nod. I can
like
picture
Peaky Blinders?
It.
Yeah, like Peaky Blinders.
No, Peaky Blinders.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to role play. So like not to the delivery person, because that's not consensual, but to your partner, like the doorbell rings and it's kind of like, oh shit, here's the moment to say it's killing the vibe. Or option B or C, oh, did you call for delivery?
Well, I was so distracted.
It could have gone one of two ways.
Yeah,
it could have gone one of two ways.
Sign for something. I was like, I'm going to have to go to the post office tomorrow. I'll get this thing. And then I got back in my head. I wanted to share that because I think we are human and that was funny. We were both laughing at ourselves and it was playful and creative, and it gets you out of the funk if you do feel any stagnation when it comes to sex, especially if you're in long-term partnerships. And I don't know if you want to share some other fun tips, because you did share a lot, but if it's to give people ideas, sometimes it's hard to get creative.
Yeah, totally. And I love both your stories, the NeuroGel and that one, because it's, you know, as you say, it could have gone like any direction, right? But both of your stories, you definitely learned something you loved. You know, I love getting into that cat suit. Fuck yeah, I felt so sexy. Or like, I love being like sliding around in our bodies, like getting this beauty massage. And you're learning something that that doesn't work for you, you know? Like, okay, outside distractions, I don't eroticize them. You know, it just pulls me out of the moment. I need to be distraction free. I need to be in the moment. You know, so you're, even though, you know, it was funny and there was laughs, you've learned, you've got things. You're like, cool, I know more about myself sexually. Yeah, and hilarious about the neurogel as well. We tried it recently. And it was a classic example of like one person being like, this is amazing. And I was just there like, I feel a bit cold.
Do you have a blanket?
Yeah.
Does it get on your sheets though? Does it get on your sheets or do you need like a...
Yeah, it does. So I put down a whole little like drop sheet, like a special like sheet. I just like didn't really get in the mood. Like, look, maybe it was just a bit of a cold day. You know, I'm willing to try it again. But, you know, again, classic example of something like this is going to be so sexy. Let's give this a go. And like one person having a great time, the other person just like being pulled out of the moment for, you know, whatever reason. So, yeah, again, able to laugh about it afterwards. It's always like, oh, you're such a nana. Like, stop getting so cold. It's a bit chilly.
I mean, you can just put some socks on, like a beanie and socks, like naked with a beanie and socks and massage. What do you do?
She might not want to get the neural gel on the beanie or
socks. That's true.
Though.
Very true. Time for a quick break to talk about our hands down favorite lube, who also happens to be a sponsor, Uberlube. Uberlube is a luxurious silicone lubricant that enhances intimacy, and I actually want it all over my body, y'all. I'm not joking. It's long lasting and it leaves my skin feeling really velvety, almost silky. And it has no flavor or scent. And April, I've heard you say this, great for oral sex.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And they happen to have thousands of doctors and therapists in the U.S. alone recommending Uberlube to their patients for various reasons, including it feels amazing on the skin, it's highly body friendly, it's less likely to change the pH, and that vitamin E leaves the skin feeling nice and moisturized.
Uberlube is not just for sex. It's for massage, you can use it for your hair frizzies, for buffing up your tattoos, and it even prevents chafing. It comes in this gorgeous glass bottle that I love, so the aesthetics are beautiful. It has this easy pump top. You're going to love it. It looks more like a cosmetic, so you can leave it shamelessly on your nightstand. Just go to uberlube.com and use discount code shameless to get 10% off and free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com right now with code shameless for 10% off and free shipping.
This podcast is also brought to you by OMGS.com. I've been recommending OMGS to my clients for years now, and it's completely changed their lives, including that of my own. OMGS utilizes scientific research of real vulvas showing techniques to pleasure the pussy. And then they turn the research into tasteful, educational short videos, animated modules, and infographics. And here's the thing, OMGS is for anyone who wants to learn about vulva pleasure or take it to the next level. Hey, vulva owners, want to transform your own orgasms from good to out of this world? Or vulva admirers want to up your pussy pleasure skills? Well, you gotta check OMGS out now.
OMGS studied more than 20,000 people of all ages from 18 to 95. There are three seasons. This is not a subscription service, and you don't need to download anything. There's external pleasure, internal pleasure, and a season all about sex toys. Your purchase helps fund more research, and it's an incredible gift. Go to omgs.com/shameless to get 10% off right now. Again, that's omgs.com/shameless to receive 10% off unlimited access towards enhancing your pleasure power.
What do you do, like in April's case, when like, okay, this kind of killed the vibe a little bit, or you were talking about like you were cold, obviously put a blanket on, or April could like, I don't know, whip out her vibrator, try to get more into the mood or something. But like, what do you do when things go a little awry and you're like, all right, I'm in my head now. Like how do we get back? How do we get back
to connection? Yeah. And so there's definitely things you can let be like, all right, so next time we're going to warm the gel. Like that will feel so amazing on my body if it's like I play with heat and play with temperature and make that part of the play. Like I love hotness on my body. So I'm like, great, next time we're warming up the gel or we're doing this outside in the sun. But in the moment, yeah, you just got to work out if it's manageable, if you can get back into the zone, be like, okay, I don't like that feeling of all over my body. I just like it in this place. So let's get back to, you know, get back into the zone in a different way. Or if you just need to like park this, it's not working for me. Like, let's debrief and work out why. And like, sometimes that happens. Sometimes you can't get back in. You know, the delivery guy is here and, you know, it's done for now, but that doesn't mean that it's, you know, done forever. You can try it again. You can put that catsuit back on, you know, you can do it again. But yeah, in terms of like getting out of your head generally, as like tips to get out of your head, anything that helps you like focus on the physical sensations. So like, what is my partner actually doing to my body? Or like, what am I doing to my body? What does that feel like? How can I bring my attention there? Also, can I use other techniques to like build arousal again, like my breath, like am I holding my breath and, you know, doing really shallow breathing? If I deepen it, do I feel more, you know, movement? Am I lying really still or clenching my muscles? Like, can I move? Can I tense and relax my pelvic floor? You know, can I make sound, like groan? Like all of these little things, it's about being like a good receiver. You know, being like good in bed isn't just about being able to give great pleasure. It's about being able to actually like receive good pleasure and like be in control of like what your body is doing. And actually you can hack your body, I think, sometimes to relax and feel pleasure through those sorts of techniques.
Well, next time the gel comes out, you could just do like a little exercise, some jumping jacks, or to kind of get the warmth. Yes, that would be my hack right there.
Or like a little wiggle dance.
Wiggle, and yeah. Like, okay, I'm getting hot now.
Yeah,
that's the thing. We just have to take ourselves less seriously sometimes when things are supposed to be hot. Because I was fully in that outfit with the red boots, knee-high boots that were stilettos. That I'm like, I never remember buying these, but these are the perfect fuck boots.
Yeah,
like, I love these things. Like
pretty woman fuck boots.
Yeah.
I see that. Can you take a photo for me next time?
Oh, please.
Maybe. Send it to me. We can make that some role play in the moment. Like, oh, I'm going to message Amy and send her a sexy photo.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
That's the other, on the maybe list.
Yeah, on the maybe list. She's like, yeah, that's a definite maybe. The other thing that, so we had mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, the five things. Did we cover all of them?
Oh, yes.
The five things you should know when it comes to sex.
We covered like quite a few. I think a big one for me, this belief that people think good sex, like, oh, what makes good sex? What makes a good lover? They think it's silent, you know, like without any words, intuitive, like people just know what to do, and it's spontaneous, like it just sort of happens. And like anything that sort of breaks that, like whether you're talking about it or being like, does that feel good? Like that sort of stuff, or, you know, planning it, and so it's no longer spontaneous, or like learning from other people and having to actually like hone the craft makes you bad in bed. And I think that's such like a harmful belief system, because good lovers are made, not born. Like no one is born good in bed. You know, like anyone who's great in bed, it's a craft. Like if they have refined that skill, you know, they have learned and they've studied and they've tried it on different bodies and they've tried it on themselves. And, you know, it takes years of exploration and like work to be amazing in bed. And because of, you know, all the shame and taboo and silencing and embarrassment that we talked about earlier, so few people feel comfortable enough to like do that outwardly and happily. And so, yeah, I think that is, in terms of like the five things, I think a big one is being able to normalize the clunky, like normalize getting it wrong, as we've talked about already, like normalize that it, you know, it's trial and error and some things feel amazing and fun, some things don't. Removing the goal of orgasm, I think, is another one that we've spoken about a lot. You know, and getting away from that attachment to outcome, like, which is really human, right? You know, especially if you're giving pleasure to, you know, a partner, like, I just want to give you this amazing experience and it's not doing the thing that I want it to. It's natural to have an attachment to an outcome. But if your partner feels that, and then they'll feel pressure, you know, and we pick up on that very easily. We know when our partner's like seeking some sort of outcome in our body, and that doesn't make us feel more relaxed. So both parties, whether you're giving or receiving, or removing that attachment to orgasm or outcome. My third one, yeah, I've already talked about, which is like good sex is about receiving, being good at receiving pleasure, not just giving it. So like being able to like use your own body, like breath and movement and things like that, to try and get back into your body and out of your head. Also, I think it's good touch and giving good touch, whether it's sex or penetration or foreplay or oral or anything, or a massage. It's so much less about the exact techniques that you're doing, and so much more about like your intention and your presence of that touch. You know, so you don't have to have all of these amazing like erotic massage skills to give an amazing erotic massage. If you're just being really present and reading your partner's body language, and you're really like putting care into every single touch you give them, that's so much better than like a rehearsed, amazing like script of, you know, strokes that have funky names. You don't need to know.
Downward dog the other day? Oh, that was a position.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the assassin.
The assassin.
The assassin. I, Don't get me wrong, I love a funky name, but you don't need to know them all. Do amazing touch.
I'm doing the assassin like, oh. right now. Yes.
Well, so, you know, okay. Not everyone wants to hear that. Well, like, ready for the fire.
Like, I'm good.
Yeah, and I think my fifth one would be, like, practicing on your own body as well. And, like, masturbate more with more variety, with more curiosity. But, like, discover your own body. Find what you like. Think about, like, how would I describe this to someone else? Like, what exactly do I love? Like, and find those words. So that you know, and you can like help other people to discover it as well. Because if you don't know how, you know, it's not really fair to expect your partner to just be able to like work it out all on their own because you haven't done that yourself either.
Well, you're not psychic,
right?
Yeah,
you're in charge of your own pleasure. We all do understand that by now, hopefully, because it took me a long time to understand that. Oh. It's on me to understand my body. I thought other people would figure it out for me. See, because that's what you learn through whatever media or what you learn sometimes in it, talking to friends. They're like, oh, you didn't get an orgasm from that? Or, oh, and I'm like, no. In my 20s, I couldn't understand. I knew how to give myself an orgasm, but I didn't think it was okay to bring that into my sexual experiences. I thought that was my private time, right? So I know we're far beyond that because we're not in like the 101 stages of pleasure anymore, at least. I know I'm not, but it's still sometimes hard to grasp. And the mind reading thing is important. But I think when it comes to the self-pleasure piece, I want to share that it is about loving yourself and accepting yourself for some of the things that you may get stuck in your head about, whether it, like in a sexual experience with someone else or yourself. And a lot of people, I've heard dudes talk about like, am I too sweaty? Do I smell bad in sexual experiences with new partners? And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Did you have a good time? Did it feel good? Did you trust the situation? Was it safe? So I love the advice though. I think that those are really good tools, like bullet pointed tips that everyone can take home or take to the bedroom or to the bathroom, wherever you want to get it done, to the workplace. Just don't involve the delivery person, okay? That's important, unless they want it, and you do too. But my delivery driver is regular, so definitely not trying to involve
him. Oh, that's an important detail.
Yeah. Got to see him again, okay.
Yeah. He's like, April, hey! I'm like, what's up, dude? Yeah. all right, well, I really enjoyed talking to you about this fun sex games.
I know. I was like, do the Hunger Games.
I need to remember. It's been years, but you've seen the Hunger Games, right, Alice?
Yeah,
okay, good. And if you haven't out there, then, you know, Jennifer Lawrence in her prime.
I bet there's a porn on Hunger Games now. It's like the Hunger Games porn version. Oh, saying.
Gotta be. Come on. That's the best game.
Entire subculture.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I could come up with some fun names. Okay. So before we have to obviously at some point let you have your weekend because it is Friday in Sydney right now. And I know it's the morning, but will you tell people how they can work with you, also about your work? And if they want to find you, whether it's social media or your resources, your workshops, please let us know.
Yeah. So I do a couples sex and intimacy course and I do that in person in Sydney, but also online or hybrid of the two. So global friends, welcome. And you get to work with me directly and we go through all of the tools and foundations of what a great life of sex and intimacy looks like. We cover heaps and heaps of topics and it's lots and lots of fun. I also, you can find me on Instagram on Vulva Dialogues.
Love the name, love
Vulva,
the name.
Vulva, like a pussy, dialogues, like a chat. And that's also my website, vulvadialogues.com. And I also do sex coaching and sex counseling with people one-on-one as well. So if you're not ready for the full sex and intimacy course and you're just wanting to sort of dip your toe in the water of what it's like to chat to someone about these issues, yeah, you can work with me online one-on-one or in person one-on-one as well. And I also do weekly workshops as well, which are just really informal online conversations, 90 minutes every single week with a different guest speaker around loads of different topics on sexuality and exploration. They happen every Tuesday evening my time, which would what be Monday, I don't know.
Depending. What is the time 19 difference? Hours? I think you're 19 yeah, or 18 exactly. hours ahead. You can just Mondays Google that, everyone. Point. Just Google, okay? And then you'll figure it out.
Yeah, so heaps going on. vulva dialogues.
Mm. Well, I love that twist on vagina monologues, the vulva dialogues. Yes. It's very smart. So I love that. And thank you for sharing your wisdom. Hopefully y'all pulled away some good tips, some juicy tips to take home and take on with you. And if not, then consult Alice Child, and you have lots of resources ongoing, and you can tune into Shameless Sex on Tuesday, and then, well, it'll be Monday. So you can tune into Alice on Monday and then listen to Shameless Sex on Tuesday. So thank you, Alice. And we will hopefully see you again soon. To all of our listeners, thank you. We don't have a trailer or a teaser. We showed you all of our podcast network teasers. There were a bunch. And if not, you can go back for the last several episodes. There were like 11. How many teasers did we do?
There was, 10 appetizers. To 15. Appetizers.
Appetizers. from our Pleasure Podcast Network and lots of sex positive podcasts to check out. So we're done with that, but we're not done telling you how much we love you. And we would love for you to check out our TikTok account or Shameless Sex Podcast, and also Instagram or Shameless Sex Podcast as well. We are doing lots of fun. We're doing some giveaways. We're doing some contests. We also just have some fun content that Amy and I create on a regular.
We think we're fun.
And hey, just go, hey, okay. And also, if you have a minute, please, and even if you don't, just do it anyway. Give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify. You have to listen to a whole episode on Spotify in order to review, but you don't have to say anything. You just start. So how easy is that? And then on iTunes, we read every single review. And if you don't want to make me cry, then make me happy with 5 stars, okay? Because I do actually cry. Amy will tell you.
It's true.
I'm like, dude. So that's all we have for you this week. But thank you for being part of the Shameless Sex Revolution, everyone. We'll see you next Tuesday. Ciao for now.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.